It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Welcome, everybody. Happy belated new year. Jake with you, Rural Matters. Door wide open. Come in. Get warm. We're going to have fun today. I'll get into that in just a second. But unbelievable, 2025 is well past us. And as we are looking forward, not only for this program, Rural Matters, but the KYKN and everything in general or specific, what a time we're in, people. And so I'm so excited to be back behind the microphone again in the studio and doing Rural Matters and looking forward to another season. I'm on 3.5 years almost. Coming up, July will be 4. And with that, I want to welcome the station owner and manager, Jeff Morgan, because Jeff, I came to you back probably in the spring of, 2022, and pitched Rural Matters to you and your staff, Denise and Hunter and Dave, and you guys were so receptive to me just coming down, sitting in the conference room. What were your thoughts, Jeff, when I first brought this out to you, a farmer coming in, ex-farmer, dairy farmer, and saying, hey, what do you think about having a conservative political ag show coming on KYKN?
You know, Jake,
and be honest now.
No, Jake, I thought it was a great idea. I mean, when you first came to me, you really didn't know what you wanted to call it. You had to kind of think about that. Yep. Rural Matters came to mind. And I love the way that you came up with that title for that show because, you know, Rural Matters, it's got kind of a double meaning there. Rural Matters because it does matter. But then again, Rural Matters, what's happening in the rural community. And what a great opportunity I thought that was to let people know what's actually happening in the farming community. Because when we had talked before you started this, it's just like, okay, so everybody knows, well, maybe not everybody, but I mean, you're an ex-dairy farmer.
Yeah.
And you know what? How long did you dairy farm? Because your parents started it up
sure.
here, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at it from a long spectrum of time, it's been in our DNA since the 1600s in Holland, and then Dad and Mom immigrating to your neck of the woods, Southern California, not too far away there in Cypress, Bellflower, Garden Grove, which is where I was born, which at that time was farm country, but the urban sprawl was breathing down the neck of every farm in Orange County. And so I dairied my whole adult life, Jeff, from basically out of college in 84 until 2020, when we decided it was time to call it good and close the doors for our farm. And it was a God thing, definitely.
100%.
It worked out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've had conversations over the past 4 years. Crazy how time flies. But no, I thought it was just a really good opportunity for people to hear what actually happens. I mean, it's kind of grassroots, I mean, realistically. So I think it's very, very important, as do you, because people need to know where their food really is coming from, what's happening in the industries. And if nothing else, I mean, shoot, we're the local radio station here in the ag community of sorts. I mean, granted, I mean, Salem's getting larger and larger, and there's more land being taken by houses, just like it happened in Southern California back in the day. But we have to know what's happening here because it's vital.
You and I have had, in the course of this coming to July or even this spring in front of 2022, opportunities to really visit and you know, express our worldviews and our concerns. And in the ag world, since I've started Rural Matters from a dairy point of view, I wasn't the first farm to move on. We've had my friend from Rick Real, Louis Cashmere, come on. They have they called it good well over 2 years ago for similar reasons as my own. And so we're seeing change. And some of it is, it's okay. It's time. You're ready to do and move on. But some of the change isn't good when it becomes to over-regulation and overreach on a government level, Jeff. And that was one of my thoughts about doing this program, is to let people know it's not that easy to be a farmer or even a business owner here in Oregon.
Not at all. It's getting worse. And there's so many things that have come down the pipe just in the last few years that's really causing, I mean, and I'm not even talking taxes. I'm just talking about, for example, we talked about this earlier before we got on the show here, the Oregon paid leave for businesses and employees is just a train wreck. It's going to cause businesses to call it quits because it's too easy for employees just to take a quote unquote mental health day or whatever they've determined they have. That's up for, I mean, there's negotiations on that all over the board. But when you can just decide you're going to have a mental health day and Oregon paid leave is going to pay for you to not show up to work and that business owner cannot let you go because of that fact, you're basically kind of an endangered species. You know what I mean?
100%, Jeff.
And so where does that leave an employer that has to have employees? You can't keep hiring people because it's not... Because then you can't, they're going to do the same thing to you. So how many employees, you're going to double your staff and only half of them are going to show up and you still have to pay them.
And in the ag world, Jeff, where there are seasons where everybody's got to be on the deck and you can't, you know, if somebody gets sick, that's one thing. But when somebody calls you and says, I don't want to be, I'm not going to be plowing the field today because I need a mental health day. And that farmer's got his tractor all loaded up and you're looking at the weather and you think, I've got five different tractors going out in all kinds of places and we've got to get it done yesterday. And you start having these kind of things happen. It is a nightmare. It is more than just fruit basket upset. And Jeff, since I started the program where you had me on Saturdays, I remember I was doing a half hour. And doing the Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10. And then, you know, the opportunity came, you know, a couple of years ago, sadly, you know, with I think Media Matters or the other show that was on.
No, doggone it.
That's okay. And so you gave me the opportunity to go an hour. And it's really got me thinking more and more about who to put on and get information out. What I wanted to do is not be a Debbie Downer and woe is me, because farmers that are in today and have been in my whole life, they're not complainers and whiners, not a lot. What they're about is getting it done and being practical and wanting to be an asset to the community, grow a great crop or a grass seed or whatever, you know, all that this valley can sustain and kick out. They don't want a whole lot of noise on their direction. They don't need it. But what they want is an equal playing field. And that has been extremely difficult from my time in the dairy world. And we'll talk about this a little bit later about how trade laws affect farmers and how I'm watching the Trump administration deal with agriculture as he did. He had some big news back in December. We'll discuss that a little bit. But I don't want people to be afraid. But I want people to be objective, and I want them to realize that everything has a price to it, either up or down, Jeff.
No, I agree with you, Jake. And, you know, you would know better than most. Thus, the reason for Rural Matters, because you being in there, you know, you're getting your body dirty and you're breaking bones and there's all sorts of things that happen on a farm. You're picking up poop.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many facets to, and nobody really even knows. I mean, my gosh, you've got to grow your own corn. You have to be self-sustaining.
Yeah.
Grow your corn for your cows. And we're just talking dairy here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to make sure they're fed. I mean, shoot, then you've got to have hay, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you guys are busting it out there every single day. I don't even know what time you guys get up, like 3 a.m. to get out there. And
we just sleep and then get up. That, you know, it was funny for me towards the end getting out at 4 a.m., seeing my night guy milking and touching base with him. Hey, what'd you see? Anything I need to be paying attention to outside of my normal routine? I was so blessed for most of my adult life running the dairy that we had pretty good help, which says a lot. But we could tell that we weren't going to be able to continue with the scale of the businesses around us, because that's what we were always brought to say. To pay what the hardware company was paying somebody. You try to stay within the area you're in. We weren't going to be able to do that. It was going to be too difficult to do that. But we were up. You know, it was probably, you know, some people say 24/7 as far as their business goes. I would put us at a 17-hour 7, short of any, you know, incidental thing that needed to be dealt with outside of that 17-hour norm. But it worked for us for a while, Jeff. But you have to be so on, and it takes it out of you, Jeff.
You know, you've got to have family members, which I know that you did, but I know that you took it over. You've got to, how many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers. And two sisters.
Okay. So really it's a family business, and for good reason, because you've all got to get out there and do the job that you need to do, or it can't survive. And so really that's kind of what the farming industry is. It's definitely family oriented, because you have to be, and that's the way it always used to be. Until we became the big, or if you've grown up in big cities like I have, we had no idea what even goes on
right
in that industry. So that's why I thought this show would be really, really cool. And I think people like it. I think they want to know. And I think that it brings a different aspect to their normal daily life, knowing what other people are going through and just really what's happening out. I mean, we could go 5 minutes and we're out in the country.
Exactly.
And we don't even know what goes on. We know, you know, in the wintertime, you know, we get a lot of rain. It kind of floods out there. We don't know how you do it. But, you know, that's a completely different story. But I think it's a lot of fun. I'm glad that you enjoyed doing this, Jake.
Yeah, I do.
Because I think you went to school in Iowa.
Sure did. And so we'll kick that around. You're listening to New Year's Rural Matters. Jake, with station manager and owner Jeff Morgan, and a very good friend of mine. We'll be right back.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters. Man, it's great to be back. And I hope all of you, in all of the craziness that is going on, and we're going to kick it around a little bit later, that Christmas and even Thanksgiving, for that matter, the season that we have quickly gone through, has had real tangible meaning to you. And from my point of view as a Christian, there's all kinds of ways to rejoice. And we don't have our heads in the sand either. We've got to make it in this world. And I just want to applaud everybody that's out there today doing their best with what they've got. And riding with me today, Jeff Morgan, my good friend, owner of this station, and a believer in this program. Jeff, as you and I have visited a lot, what's got to happen in Salem? We've got to turn this good ship lollipop, Oregon, Salem, Willamette Valley around, because I don't want to get all down on stuff, but there's some things that are brewing that you see that I would like my audience to know, and you and I can talk about it.
Well, I don't know if I'm the end all be all with knowing that everything that's going on here.
Sure.
I mean, I'm only involved. I only see so many things because I don't, I'm going to be honest, Jake, I don't want to go that deep.
Yeah.
Because I know that it does.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go deep, then you find things and you see things that you don't necessarily want to see, but we don't have to look very far, Jake, to see what's happening in this city. And really it's disappointing. Now, I mean, we're in Kaiser. I think Kaiser does a little bit better job than Salem. And I'm not dishing anybody or anything. I'm not saying anybody else is better than anybody else. It's just the way that it is. And so Salem, for whatever reason, just the homeless issue, and I've been harping on this for I don't even know how many years. It just seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. We've got, I don't even know, I haven't been to the camp in West Salem. I know Matt Massera with Bebold Street Ministries. I know he serves. He wants to go in. This guy's got some big kahunas, for lack of a better word. I mean, I don't even, he used to be in there. He almost died. If you haven't heard of Matt Massera, look him up. I mean, the guy's a superstar, total, you know, it's a super believer, and he wants to change. You have to change your mind.
Correct.
These people have to change their mind, and I don't even know if they're in their right mind. And that's part of the problem. There's so many things that are going on at that camp. I mean, I'm sure that they've got, you know, pimps, prostitution. I mean, you see them out on the streets begging for money. Don't think that they're not giving their money to somebody else somewhere. It's all of just a vicious cycle. We've got human trafficking going on, you know, up and down I-5, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Nobody. We've got cartels that are just in East Salem over here. We don't even know how bad it is, according to Matt. And so there's so many things happening here that nobody's really even doing. I mean, our police force, their hands are tied. They can't do everything. And so we've got a city council, and I don't mean to bash on them, but look what they're doing. They're trying to enable all of these people that are homeless in tents underneath the overpasses, making fires, living off the grid. They don't even pay taxes into the system. They're a menace to our society right here. And I don't mean to be mean, if you want to take it that way. If I've offended somebody, I apologize. But sometimes reality speaks louder than anything else. And so can you see that my frustration, Jake? Because when I moved here, I thought it was a great city. I really do. And I'm telling you, it seems like in the past, I don't know, 6-7 years, ever since really COVID changed everything, and everything's gone sideways. So, I mean, I don't want to talk too much here because it's your show, Jake. I'm just a passenger.
Yeah, you're a passenger. But, you know, when I get in my car, Jeff, I'm very, my attention span is very short. So if I don't like a song, I just keep going. And I don't like it, I keep going. And so in this program, I want people to listen to this and get some knowledge. And what my thoughts are, Jeff, you and I, we hit the road with Rural Matters. We did two county fairs, and we did Marion this past summer, and we did Polk County. And the vibe was just intoxicating in such a great way. My concern, Jeff, and I know you and I've talked, is the young people, the country and the state and the city that they're going to get. You and I, well, we can probably run it out, do our, you know, we don't want to run out the clock on our lives, but we've had a good America. You came here to Salem, and yeah, it was great. And what I want Rural Matters to do on the ag end, and also too, you know, on the political end, is people, whatever side of the aisle you are on, open your eyes and your ears. Try and divorce yourself from preconceived prejudices, and I'll have to do the same because I'm a conservative constitutionalist, Jeff. I am a Republican registered, but I'll do a Trump and I'll fire if they're not doing, you know, I'll vote and fire. We need people to really sharpen their pencils. And I'm really thinking about the young people. You and I saw such amazing young people on those two fairs. And then you and I did the rodeo kind of towards the Indian summertime. It was, you look at these young people. I don't think they're really worried about their gender ID, Jeff. Did you get any kind of issues where they're moaning and groaning about their disposition in life?
You know, we just talked to the queen, the rodeo queens, rodeo princesses, and, you know, they range from 5 years old all the way up to what, 18, 19?
Oh, yeah, they're going to college.
Oh, holy cow. Yeah, they're going to OSU.
They're busier than you and I.
Yeah, and well, I'm glad that they have the energy for that because I don't, and that's why they're there. But no, they are solid. They are super smart. I mean, these kids, they've got it going on, and they're going to do something, you know, with themselves. And really, that's what needs to happen. The kids need to get off those video games. Parents, stop babysitting them and putting something in front of them and really allowing them to do it. We've got 30-year-olds that are still living at home. They're not even doing anything. And I've heard there's too many stories like that. And it's just like, you have to get out, get a job. Go do something. We've created this laziness, and these kids, again, I said it earlier in the first segment, they're entitled. We've got to get rid of that, but it's got to come from the parents. That's where everything happens. And you know, when you've got, you know, families that are torn up, I've got one, and it sucks, and I don't like it, but it is what it is at this point. And I just think parents need to come together. It just seems like they're battling. When I see divorced families, the exes, they're always battling. Everybody wants to have the upper hand. And the kids are the ones that take the brunt of this thing, and then they go sideways. And so really I don't know what the divorce rate is now. It's got to be like 50% at least here. There's no doubt. And so this is the new generation that's coming up. And I think they isolate themselves and they don't even know who they are anymore. And that's a big problem. And nobody goes to church anymore. Nobody even acknowledges God. They want to do their own thing. And it's like that's not only a disaster in this life, it's a disaster in the next one. And so really that's where everything needs to go. You've got to get God back into life and everybody's heart.
Yeah.
So people need to start loving each other instead of hating each other. You've got to forgive people. You can't hold grudges and be offended by every little thing. Because let's be honest, Jake, we all suck. We're all horrible people. We were born into this world just sinful people. And that's what you see. There's not one person on this earth that is any good. Not one.
No, not one. That's very biblical, by the way, Jeff.
Yes, it is.
It is. And we just celebrated the birth of Christ in the Advent season. And Lent season's coming up. It's always quick. April's coming. April 5th, I believe, is Easter weekend. And so we get through one and we're going through another. Jeff, and that's one of the things. I want to encourage all the young people. I want to encourage them to be smart, to really open up their eyes and be objective. I was so pleasantly pleased with the rodeo gals and the 4-H'ers and everyone else. We'll talk more. Jake, Rural Matters, heartbreak, news. Hopefully it's good, Jeff. Be right back.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, back with you. Hope you're having a glorious Friday. You know, it's a little melancholy when you get into January and football season's going to end soon. And you got to, you know, the days are short, Oregon rain. And, you know, what makes the valley great is what happens now. But hang in there, people, because my show's going to be good. Right, Jeff?
That's right, Jake.
100%. So pay attention on Fridays, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Jeff. I was watching in my oh-so-abundant free time. I have a lot of respect for Carrie Lake. For those of you who don't know who she is, she was a well-known reporter in the state of Arizona, greater Phoenix area, I believe, and very political and very constitutionally conservative. And with the... can I use the word advent of all of the fraud going on in Minnesota? And by the way, folks, Katie barred the door. You think Minnesota's got fraud? Think Oregon's got some fraud there, Jeff?
How about California?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. Well, Carrie made a comment, Jeff, and you and I talked about this a little bit because we can get nicely worked up on this one. Her comment to this podcast person whose name I forgot was pretty simple. She goes, you know something? I'm tired of hearing the word accountability. It sounds so, yeah, we're going to hold you accountable. Accountable to what, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota? Accountable to what, Gavin Newsom, president wannabe, governor of a mess of a state, California? She made a point, and it really resonated with me, Jeff, and accountability. No, you know what? I want to see punishment. And her comments were handcuffs, and prison time for people that have squandered, and I mean stolen and fraudulently squandered, our taxpayer dollars that we could have used so much better for ourselves.
And we shouldn't even have to pay that, Jake.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Is that how you're going to do it? Then what am I paying taxes for? That's where I'm at right now.
Well, you're paying taxes for people that aren't doing anything and for some reason feel like they're entitled to everything that the good people of this state and this country have to give.
Well, yeah, it seems like it's obvious that they can spend our money better than we can. They've been, you know, obviously invested well in their little soapboxes that, you know, they do. Their NGOs that are out there that are getting all this money. Where is that being laundered to? Do we have another Somalia entity, you know, here in Oregon? I don't think it's Somalians, but I think it's something else. And I don't know what that is. I'm just saying.
Well, we have, in my mind, is tenured politicians. And I'm going to start with our governor. I try not to dwell too much on Governor Kotek, but one of the biggest disappointments that I saw from her came last March, first week of March, where she did a appreciation of abortion providers day. She celebrated those that provide abortions, and it made me, it really, really made me ill, Jeff. And I cannot, and if that's the kind of narrative that comes from on high, from our governor, should I be surprised about what else is coming down, Jeff, that I don't even know about?
Well, no, you can just look at, Governor Kotek and her first lady. And that should tell you everything that you need to know. The morality is toast. There isn't any. And she's for, let's be honest. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. Satan's alive and well. Whether you believe in him or not, it doesn't matter because he's there and it exists. The evil exists. Whatever you call that in your little world is fine. But that's what, Satan, he's Lucifer. I mean, he's a fallen angel and this is his world. And he's going to do everything he can to seek, kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what's happening. I think a lot of the minds here in the state of Oregon have been sent over to depravity. It's exactly where it is. And this is what it looks like. It's exactly what it looks like, what we're seeing right now. All you have to do is look at the school district, Salem-Keizer School District. What's going down here? What's actually going on in the schools? We have some good teachers, and you know where the good teachers are going? They're retiring. They're getting out unless you have to be a teacher because that's your income and you're stuck, kind of. But just what they're told that they have to teach, they're more, again, like what you talked about, they're more concerned about gender than they are about any kid learning anything. You know, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a diploma. And that's not the way that I grew up. I had to work my butt off to get the grades that I got. And I'm not telling you what they were.
I'm not going to tell you mine either.
I'm not the brightest.
Not here.
I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But, it is what it is.
We are in a spot, and you are talking about the homeless, and I get some homeless action in McMinnville when I do my night work there. And ladies and gentlemen, there are bathrooms that I go to lock up that I hold my breath because it's because of the fentanyl smell. It's because of the residual weed that they are inducing. I'm talking the homeless people and others as well, but it is very dramatic. What is this, Jeff? What does the state got to do? What do we have to do? What do we got to do to work on this?
Everything in the state is corrupt. It is. In one way, shape, or form, it's not right. They're not running things right, if they're even working at all. I know there's some hard workers at the state. Maybe it's a minority, whatever, but I mean, when you can't get a hold of anybody and things just don't happen, it takes like 8 months to get a permit. They're not business savvy.
Right.
These people here, most, have never even been in business. All they know how to do is take. They take our money. And think that they can spend it wisely, not to mention the fact that if they don't spend the same amount of money that they did last year, then they lose it. So they just make crap up and they're spending our money all over the place and nothing's accounted for. So I would say, to answer your question, that we need to privatize most things.
Okay.
We need to get private business to do what the government has just created. But when you've got 51% of the workforce working for the government, they kind of rule. And then you've got the unions that get involved. And so there's lobbyists that are involved. It's so just intertwined and so deep that can we get out of this, Jake?
It's a major question. And I feel again excited for, but feel again for the young people who are really wanting to make stuff happen. The ones that we've had on our program through the fairs, through the Dairy Princess programs and so forth. I look at Oregon with so much potential. We have it all here. But ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be a doomsday forecaster, but what's happening in California, Jeff, you and I were talking earlier, with gas situation down south, the Green New Deals have created such handcuff business-killing protocols dictated from Sacramento to the Chevrons, the Valaris, and I believe even Phillips 66 is looking at their bottom line there in California. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand something big time. gas prices going up in California means gas prices coming up in Oregon. California has such strict petroleum laws and rules that they threw up their hands and said, we're moving to Houston. That's what Chevron did. 21%, Jeff, 21%. And I've seen numbers where California gas, not counting diesel, is going to be somewhere between $6 and $8, probably by the fall. And these are things that will affect the entire West Coast economy.
Well, it's not only that. Well, yeah, the cost of goods.
Yeah.
Basically, the COGS are going up. It doesn't matter what it is. You thought it's expensive to live now? Yeah, you just wait. In Oregon, here, we're on an island. We have no refineries. We haven't had anything here since the mid-80s when they shut them all down with the environmentalists. And, you know, for maybe that was a good reasoning, you know, because you got the rivers here and, you know, you got, you know, the fish and, you know, they're more important and you don't want to pollute anything. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, because that's not right. It's God's world.
Yep. We're stewards.
And we're
of it.
Stewards. And so you have to do what's right. And so I think the intention may have been there. But with due to the fact that, you know, now California, like you stated, the refineries are shutting down. They're moving to Houston. What does Washington have? Nobody's going to have a refinery here on the West Coast. So what does that mean? We're on an island. Mm-hmm. We got nothing.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? And so if you can't have, if trucks aren't going up and down the road, guess what? Nothing's happening. We're not getting anything. And so where do you go there? You get the heck out.
Correct. Jake, Rural Matters, Jeff Morgan, owner operator of this wonderful station right here in Salem, 1430 AM KYKN. We're going to be right back after this with our final segment, Burning It Up.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Happy Friday, Rural Matters. Jake, so glad to be back in the seat. And hopefully, wherever you are, your plans are great for the weekend, and God is just with you. And that is my call for everybody. Jeff, reality check time. Christmas is over. Easter's coming up a couple months, Lent season. Love that time of year, spring. California, you know, it's bigger than people realize because there's the other part of this equation, getting back to the Rural Matters part of it. Everybody thinks of California as tourism and entertainment industry, rightfully so, a nation unto itself. But guess what, Jeff? Diesel prices, California is one of the hugest agricultural areas, states in the world. The San Joaquin Valley is a resurrected desert turned into some of the most amazing, amazing agriculture ever. And if you bring those diesel prices up high on those farmers with those tractors, plus you're handcuffing them when they need water to irrigate, flood irrigate their crops. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see some real interesting things happen. And I say that with fear and trepidation, Jeff.
Yeah, I think you, well, I know you're right, Jake, but yeah, you're talking from Bakersfield all the way up to Redding.
Correct.
And there's so many different variations of agricultural that happen down there. Plus you've got, there's a lot of cattle and steer that are grown down there. You just go down the five, you know, from Stockton down to Bakersfield, and it's all over. And so if that goes away, I mean, I'm not sure what Newsom's trying to do other than maybe he's getting paid off from either Mexico or people down in South America bringing up their agriculture and shutting ours down, which is basically what's been happening for a long time. 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Easily. You know, you make a very valid point, but I want people to think about this for a second. If we start depending on our food supply from outside sources, those of us who remember the 70s when the oil embargo type stuff that happened and we had to have the gas lines and all of that, because guess what? We were, I believe the term is OPEC. We were depending on other Middle Eastern countries for our fuel. Imagine having to depend on a Brazil, and we do already. Some of the other southern, Western Hemisphere, South American countries, they could play with us on this. And I want people to understand, once a farmer goes out of business, you don't just resurrect it again. The cost and the capital that it takes to start up again is so huge. It either gets absorbed into a bigger farm, which is the way it goes, or it gets absorbed other ways. You lose these farmers, and we're less than 2% of the American population right now. They start subtracting themselves out. It gets more automated. You get more bang for your 1% buck. But there's an end to it, and we need to be aware of this. That's why I'm so concerned lately this past month about what's been going on down there, down south of us, Jeff.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, if we're talking about like Venezuela,
correct,
which is like big time in the news, you know, Venezuela used to be a very wealthy country not long ago. Yep. I mean, we're talking about 25 years ago. They had one of the strongest currencies in the world, the Bolivar. And these guys, the last two like elected presidents, brought in socialism, hyperinflation, and they went sideways. And these people have been oppressed for I don't know how many years. And so now they are so relieved that this guy's out of there. Madero, I think, is what his name is. And yep. they're beside themselves. They're waving the Venezuelan and the American flag down there because they feel that it's the end of their oppression. And so people in New York apparently can't, you know, figure that thing out in their little brains. And they're protesting
their communist mayor.
Gee, well, it's not even that. It's the people there that just think that they need to send him back because the Venezuelans, they need him. I mean, oppression's the way to go. It's ridiculous.
So the president had thrown out warnings to Madero, the Venezuelan leader. And if he didn't figure it out with all of those fishing boats that were getting sunk / drugs, that this guy means business, our president. What kind of invincibility, arrogance lines the head of some of these leaders? Trump threw this out at Venezuela. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I don't even know, Jake, because I really didn't even know what was happening. You know, I saw the bombings of the boats, and it's like, okay, we're seeing that. And, you know, we also, I heard, you know, a few people in the Navy, or not people, but like the upper ups, colonels or what have you, whoever's like way the heck up there, didn't agree with what Trump was doing, but, and called him out on it, apparently. I can't remember his name. Silly me. But my own personal opinion, I don't know if I necessarily have one, because I think that there's other underlying things with that too. There's a lot of oil in Venezuela. I think there is probably some pretty good silver mining down in Venezuela. And if you've been paying attention to the silver and gold prices lately, guess what?
Ups, up, up.
You know, China is, they're buying it all up. And they're really the only country almost that is mining the silver and the gold, mostly the silver, because silver is being used in everything.
Yep.
And if we don't have silver here, and then you've got the banks, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase. I mean, all this paper silver that they've been manipulating all of these markets forever. Is that going away, Jake? And is that going to devalue the dollar based on what these bankers have done? And are we going to see hyperinflation? I mean, I know I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but I think people need to wake up look at it.
I want that to be this opener for the new year. The taking of President Madero and his wife to New York City, total amazing operation there. People understand this. China has interests in South America right off of Venezuela. It's more than just pulling this guy out and his wife, because they are establishing bases off of Cuba with Cuban support, obviously. And the oil was helping pay for that. I want people to understand, yeah, it maybe doesn't look so pretty, but it is a necessary evil. And by the way, Jeff, President Obama and Biden both had $25 million bounties on that said president. So don't just get all pissy about what Trump's just done. It's been in the works. They just haven't had the nuts to do it, Jeff.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And Trump is, he'll shut down anything. And it just is what it is. Am I a huge fan of Trump? I don't know. I mean, I think I'm kind of the middle of the road. I mean, he's got good side and he's got bad side, just like all of us.
Jeff, I haven't met your bad side yet, Jeff.
Well, you don't want to, Jay.
No. Okay, we've got 2 minutes left, Jeff, or actually a little bit more than that. Oregon itself. I look at Oregon right now, and I want to throw this metaphor at you, and I think I've done it before. You know, we've got duck football. So picture a big stadium, Jeff. All 50 states fit in this big, huge stadium, football stadium. And you've got your main seeders, the Californias, the Texas, and Illinois, New York. They're all down. There are Iowa gets a lot of political play. And I look at Oregon. And we're up in the nosebleed section, Jeff. We're in the section where the snow hits the hardest. Nobody cares. The Republicans know on a national level that Oregon's a Democrat. And the Democrats don't have to do anything because they know Oregon's Democrat. What is it about us? We've got to change this narrative, Jeff, where we have good impact.
You know, I think number one, we got to get rid of the mail-in balloting because whatever you say, I just don't think that's number one, the right way to do it, because it's easy to just take advantage of that whole system. And I think that it has. I also think that people need to get involved. I'm just saying that. I mean, this is our involvement, Jake, right here on KYKN. This is what we do. But people have to, if you want change, you've got to be the one to make the change. You can't rely on anybody else. You have to do it. And then you have to get with other people who want to do it. And I think here in Salem, I think we've got there's some business people that are, they're putting something together because they know that this next election season is crucial. Especially here in this city. If we want this city to keep thriving, I think it's extremely important. So everybody needs to vote, regardless of what you think. Your vote doesn't count. Yes, it does. Everybody's does, so do it.
Perfect. Some people talk about a potential, real quick, bloodless civil war. Do you feel like America is the most polarized it's ever been? What
yeah,
do you think?
I do.
Yeah.
100%. And everybody's, you know... I think everybody has a lot of anger on both sides of the aisle, and it's worse on the left side than it is on the right side. But I mean, you poke the bear enough, right side's coming. And so I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to know what it looks like, but if you do it long enough, people are going to get fed up and there's going to be a breaking point.
I think you're right. I think going back to Carrie Lake and what she said is resonating with a lot of people. I don't want accountability sounds so sterile, neutral to me. Slap them on the wrist kind of thing. There needs to be a price to be paid for people stealing our money.
100%.
And the money needs to go to people that really deserve it, need it for a period of time, who want to get their way out. And if it comes to a point where we're not being able to meet our own needs, we're in as big a trouble as any third world country. All right, Jake, Rural Matters, we're done, Jeff. Thanks for stepping on with me.
My pleasure.
We'll see you soon, guys.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.